Hello, St. Georgians, near and far, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. On day 55 of our Year of the Bible, Adventure Through Holy Scripture, now in the book of Deuteronomy, looking at chapters 9 through 11, so still the first half of Deuteronomy, part of Moses' last, I think we're in the second of the long speeches that he's given over the course of a month to the Israelites who are about to cross into the Promised Land. Just a reminder that he's speaking to the second generation of Israelites. I don't think that there are any left at this point who were part of the Exodus generation. Now it's all, sorry, I'm putting away my dishes. Now it's all the generation that was born as part of the Exodus journey sort of itself. And so most of them though have seen some of the rebellions, but they might not have been there for the Exodus, though they may have very well, I mean, I hope they heard the stories of it. Remember that up to this point, it has been a lot of looking back at the past, at what has happened, and then talking about the rules and stuff about what it should be like when they get there. And now in today's reading, it's sort of like, you know, so here are the rules, and here's why you need to obey them. There's a famous thing where Martin Luther had this strict divide between law and gospel. You know, law is law and scoldy and all this kind of stuff, but the gospel is the good news. And people ever since have said, well, the Old Testament has to be good news in some sense, right? Like there has to be part of it, you know, the way it points to Jesus and everything, but God is the same yesterday, today, and forever. So even if the covenant changes, we should still be able to see the character of God. And you definitely see it here. You definitely see in chapters 9 to 11, on the one hand, there's a lot of talk about the law. Moses rehearses, I think it's five of the rebellions in the desert that the people did, and what a pain it was, and how it drove him crazy, and all this kind of stuff. How even though, you know, they had been given all these things, they still sort of turned away from the Lord and were easily misled. And he talks about the golden calf and the stuff in Kadesh Barnea when they don't want to go into the land and everything. But the reason he says all of it is because he says, I don't want you to think that the reason you're going into Israel is because you're so great. I don't want you to think that the Lord has given you this because of, you know, your sort of uprightness or anything. At one point he says, it's not because of your virtue, but because of the sins of the Amorites that they are being kicked out. And he sort of says it like over and over again. When you get into the Promised Land, don't think that you're there because you're so great, because you're not, right? And here are a bunch of examples of how you're not. Rather, and this is the point, this is the law and gospel part that I'm making, why are they being given this amazing land, given this place? Because God loves them. For no other reason than the fact that God loves them are they being put there. And so really, I mean, just sort of like over and over again, I mean, kind of beats it to death, to be quite honest. Moses says, as long as you have been a stiff-necked people, as long as I have known you, as long as I've known you guys, you have been a stiff-necked people. It means a recalcitrant, bitter, complaining people. That's who they've been. As long as I've known you, you've been like that. The point of that is not just to make them feel bad, right? The point of being reminded of sin is not, you know, just so we can say, oh, boo-hoo-hoo. Rather, it's because it reveals what the character of God is. And the character of God is one who forgives sins, right? Both slow to anger, and then when the anger comes, is quick to forgive. And so that's an important thing for them to remember. That he also, there's also a, a big shift towards looking towards the future. I mean, talking about how you should be when you get to the promised land is, I suppose, in a sense, looking towards the future by itself. But it sort of makes the point that remembering those things that have happened is very good, and knowing those stories is very good. Both the good things and the bad things and everything, knowing is very good. But the point of remembering all those is not just reminiscing or making you feel bad or making you feel good or anything like that. The point of sort of telling the stories is to prepare you for, is to prepare Israel for the future that is coming towards them, and that they're going to be able to enjoy this great land, this great promised land, again, not because of them, but because of who God is. Now, who they are changes, right? Because they change. They change not just like generations change, but sometimes they're rebellious, sometimes they're faithful, and that kind of stuff. But God is not. They can count on God to stay the same yesterday, today, and forever, right? That's just Jesus, we say, same yesterday, today, and forever. And that sameness is a good thing. It's a good thing because if God is faithful, and he's the same yesterday, today, and forever, then that's a good thing. That's a good thing for us. And so they can go in and they can enjoy, and they should enjoy all of the things that are coming, because it's been given to them by God. They should enjoy it and they should appreciate it as the gift that it is. That they don't deserve the blessings that they've gotten. Rather, what they deserve is punishment, and sometimes they get that punishment. But one of the things that they can take from that is to see that even in the punishment, the promises that have been made are being kept. Now, what's different about Deuteronomy? And sort of a place where it sort of certainly differs from the New Testament is that there is an if-then quality to the punishment that Moses makes very clear when he talks about there are blessings and there are curses, right? There is punishment that will come. You will be blessed if you follow the commandments, and you will be cursed if you don't. And that's the way that it's set out. And this is partly why Deuteronomy gets a bad rap in Christian circles, understandably so, because it is that if then. The covenant from Mount Horeb, which is what they call it, this covenant is a conditional covenant. The covenant of the land is a conditional covenant. If they are faithful, they will keep the land. If they are not faithful, they will not keep the land. And that is something different than the promise that's made in Jesus. The promise that's made in Jesus is that all of the sins that have been committed in the world, right, we will not be punished for them. We may be disciplined by them, but we're not going to be punished for them. And the reason we're not going to be punished for them is that Jesus has already taken on that punishment. The punishment that is ours by right has already, once and for all, for all time, for all places, for all people, has already been paid by Jesus, so that we don't have to worry about that. We know what the final destination for us is, and it's the promise, not the geographic promised land, but the promised land of living forever with God, because God has already taken on himself, in the person of Jesus, those punishments. Now, this is what people do, and I think this is fair, is say, look, these other, so what might feel like punishment sometimes, we can look at rather, and you see other examples of this in the Old Testament, is discipline. So the Lord might discipline us in this way or that in order to teach us something, in order to bring us to trust him more, in order to, you know, have us, I really think that's the big one, having us trust him more. When we trust him more, then our experience of the world will be different. Our trusting him is not something, again, you know, I've said this before, but it's not something good for him. It's not that it makes God's life better. God's life can't get any better. Can't get any worse either. God is infinite and perfect. However, it's good for us. It's good for us to grow. God doesn't grow. God doesn't improve. God doesn't change. God is the same yesterday, today, and forever. We, however, can improve, and hopefully we do. And one of the ways that we improve, one of the ways, not the only way, one of the ways that we improve is by being disciplined. Now, I'm saying this, and I have a very hard time myself remembering it. When things are happening to me or in my life, that's sort of an easy thing to say. Aha, you know, I'm going through this horrible time. It's the Lord disciplining me, so that I can more fully grow into His, into His image and that kind of thing. And it feels like, well, this is too much. I mean, even the places where you can see, okay, yeah, I see how I brought that upon myself. Nonetheless, it hurts really bad. And sometimes we didn't bring it on ourselves, you know. Most of the examples, I mean. For example, the Israelites did not bring on Egypt's oppression by themselves. And yet in that story, you can see the way that it is. Well, in the last reading or two readings ago, God refers to it as the iron furnace. It's the iron furnace where he was teaching them to, he used it as an iron furnace to teach them to cry out to him. They had no one else to cry out to, so they finally cried out to the Lord, and the Lord heard them. I struggle with this a lot, with this idea, and it can be a hard thing. It can be a hard thing to remember. I will say that sort of spending each and every day in the scriptures like this has sort of made the point to me over and over, and I am sort of keeping it more in the forefront of my mind, and hopefully you have too, which sort of gives a good indication of why Moses repeats himself over and over, right? Because we do need to hear it over and over. We can trust the Lord, and we can understand that even the times in Egypt, the times in Babylon, even the times of difficulty, somehow the Lord will bring something good out of it. Doesn't make it okay, doesn't mean that we're not sad about it or anything like that, but the Lord can bring something good out of it. So I'll leave it there for today. All right, let us pray. O God, who hast caused all holy scriptures to be written for our learning, grant that we may in such wise hear them, read, mark, learn, and inwardly digest them, that by patience and comfort of thy holy word, we may embrace and ever hold fast the blessed hope of everlasting life, which thou hast given us in Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. All right, happy reading. Talk to you again tomorrow.